what, 5 years, I would imagine all quarterbacks who are worth a damn are making $45 million, right?
Airing every day
from noon to 3.
$45 million sounds crazy now, but in 3 years from now, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's kind of the going rate.
As David Lindley once said, you've got to pay the man.
Who's David Lindley?
He's a reggae kind of musician.
I would have gone with Teddy KGB. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Pay the man.
Yeah, but Teddy KGB
Everybody's
is iconic.
Everybody's got to pay the man. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
On 1340 WKG.
Like I said about Jerry, Jerry's getting old. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Who sings that?
David Lindley.
Let's keep it that way.
How creative.
Got him!
How creative.
Got him!
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John. The Eagles have re-signed Pro Bowler Jason Peters to play guard, despite you idiots telling me last week that he was not an Eagle. He's been an Eagle all along. He got re-signed, but he was really an Eagle all along.
You can call us idiots.
I get to claim that last week when I said Jason Peters was an Eagle, Jason Peters was an Eagle. You guys didn't know he was getting ready to sign a new deal as I did.
Sorry, you should have broke the news, man.
I pretty much did. Nobody wants to give me credit.
He's drafting and bringing man as an emergency guard because their offensive line is in such shambles. And
yeah, you make whatever excuses you want, buddy.
I don't need to make any. I got the win last week.
Last week I said Jason Peters is an Eagle. This week, Jason Peters is an Eagle.
But last week when you said it, he was not an Eagle.
He was, though, you know.
In his heart.
His name may not have shown on the roster, but he was an Eagle,
you
really.
You might be right about that.
He's as much of an Eagle as Don Felder. He may not get the credit, but he's an Eagle.
I mean, you might be right about him always being an Eagle in his heart. Like, I mean, if you asked him what team he played for last week, he probably still would have said, I'm an Eagle. So, like, you might be onto something there.
Yeah. Idiots.
I got to put my DraftKings lineup together.
The deal has $3 million in guarantees and is worth up to $6 million, according to Adam Schefter.
Say that one more time. He has how much money?
The deal has $3 million in guarantees. It's worth up to $6 million.
Thank you, sir.
Jason Peters is 38.
No, he's an old man.
He's like a senior citizen in NFL years.
He's an old man.
He's basically 100. 9 Pro Bowls over a 16-year career. Hell of a lineman.
Great lineman.
One of the greats. Let's see. The Patriots' Cam Newton says that replacing Tom Brady is, quote, the elephant in the room. That's what he referred to it as in replacing the 6-time Super Bowl champion. You know who you're coming after. I'm like, yeah, great. What he was, what he is, great. Needs no talking about, said Cam. But one thing about it, though, Coach McDaniels, you're able to call some stuff that you ain't ever been able to call now. You're getting a dog. You're getting one of these ticked off dogs, too. And I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm like, who are we playing? That team passed on me? Okay. That team passed on me? Okay. They should have came and got me. Cam's sounding confident.
He's sounding really confident. I mean,
he's on his revenge tour.
Last night, or the other day, I saw another video where he was talking about, you know, how they've never seen this Cam that's coming before. And he said, because I've never seen this Cam that's coming before. Basically, like, he's saying he's surprising himself with how good he is. We'll see how it goes.
They're going to win that division.
If
there's anything you ever remember about me, I want you to remember that I said that. The Patriots are going to win the AFC East again this year.
Okay.
It's going to happen. That Bills team last year, overrated. Very overrated.
I will.
You don't see Josh Allen talking like this, do you?
There's something to be said for the quiet confidence, too, though.
He ain't a dog like Cam.
He is not a dog like Cam. That is correct.
Who do you think's winning that fist fight? Cam Newton or Josh Allen? I know who I'm taking.
Josh Allen can fight, I bet.
You think? Hey, he didn't play well.
Wyoming?
He probably got in some saloon battles.
Where's he from, actually?
Josh Allen, I think, is from California and used to play like a, I think he was a pretty good AAU basketball player. So I think
Again, soft.
You know, Josh Allen's got a little hood in him. I don't know if you've ever heard him talk or like the way he carries himself. You think he's from Wyoming, but I'm pretty sure Josh Allen's got some hood in him.
You just said
it. See the way he plays football, right? Running around quarterback.
You just said he.
I did not say he can beat Cam Newton in a fight. All I'm saying is Josh Allen is not a pushover. That's all I'm saying is Josh Allen.
Say something else. He's not a pushover.
Oh.
You just said Josh Allen played AAU basketball in California.
I'm just saying Josh Allen. I'm saying Josh Allen probably had a lot of long rides in the car with his boys, and he's got some straight to
him. Cam Newton had an abusive father.
Is that true?
CM Newton?
Was he abusive? I've never heard that story.
Emotionally.
Before.
I think emotionally. Wasn't there something? Isn't there something?
His dad helped him get a big check from, helped get a lot of money from Mississippi State and Auburn, but.
I thought I remembered him being in that documentary they did. He was like an emotionally abusive guy. Maybe I confused that with somebody.
C.M. Newton's his name?
C.M. Newton. I think that's
C.M.
his name.
C.M. Newton. Cam Newton.
If I was a scientist, that's what I'd go by. If I was like a genius, like a smart cat, C.M. Newton, and then get that Newton name in there, you know?
Are you sure his dad's name C.M.?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
Not entirely.
I don't know if that's even. Cecil, ain't it? Cecil.
Yeah. Cecil. I don't know where I came up with C.M.
Because I knew a guy named C.M.
Wasn't there some guy named C.M. Newton that was like a.
C.M. Newton. I mean,
Maybe I'm thinking of C.S. Lewis.
C.M. Newton was, he was a basketball player, coach, and nothing big. I mean, he's a two-sport player at the University of Kentucky, played baseball and basketball. I don't think you would know that guy.
A guy named C.M. Newton? Yeah.
I think you just kind of lucked into that.
Yeah, might have been thinking of Sir Isaac.
I don't think Cecil abused Cam either, by the way.
When I was a kid and I didn't know what the prefix sir was, like that the British use, I thought the guy's name was literally Sir Isaac. I didn't know how you spelled it, but it was Sir Isaac. Are you finding anything on Cecil Newton being an emotionally abusive father?
No, I haven't found anything there. I think you owe an apology to...
My apologies to Cecil Newton, and congrats on the check.
Where is Fireball, California?
Fireball?
Yeah.
There's some at the bottom of a toilet in Los Feliz, a place that me and Brandon stayed at.
I was trying to spell it like fireball.
Yeah, no, it's fireball, like Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Really I'm going to guess it's somewhere around
Fresno
L.A.
Fresno County.
Oh, that's up upstate a bit. Fresno. I know a guy in Fresno.
Sounds like a rough place to grow up. So Josh Allen's got some street to him.
Fresno, California is a rough place to grow up.
Fireball. 6'5". I'm just saying, Josh Allen, I think, is not the goofy Wyoming boy you paint him out to be.
I was actually giving him credit. I was thinking, being in Wyoming, he probably got in a few saloon battles, you know?
Maybe.
Because that's where you drink in Wyoming. They just have saloons.
Okay.
They don't actually have
the
bars.
The city is only 9.9% black.
That means he had to travel. How far is Fresno? Black. You know what that means? It means he had to travel to the other areas. He was an outsider. You've seen all those movies, right? Whenever the outside white boy has to come on the black basketball team. We've seen those movies.
He's rolling down Crenshaw.
He had to earn his way in.
I got a game.
He had to prove he belonged.
I got a little game in Compton, a little pickup game in Compton.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm not buying it. Let's see. One more? You want one more? Let's see. What else we got here? The Browns, Odell Beckham, is back with blonde hair.
Who?
Oh, that's Odell Beckham.
Oh.
Odell Beckham. He's back with blonde hair. The Browns receiver said a different attitude's coming with it. Different attitude coming back with the blonde hair. He's just decided to come back blonde, I guess. The blonde is back.
Good for him.
So I guess that means he's got new streaks in his hair. I don't know what this is talking about. This is not a very good headline. He said, I'm tired of playing your game. Like me and Cam talk about that humble Oh, is he referring to Cam Newton? I guess he is.
Him and Cam are boys. They've been working out together.
Oh, so this kind of ties into the last story.
It does.
When you're inside, like, we're humble men, but they've taken that humbleness as a weakness, and they shh on us. It's crazy to me because when you're up and you're talking, they hate it. And for me this year, I'm trying to kill. That's it.
Kill.
That's why the blonde is
kill.
Back.
When I see Odell and the blonde, I think killer.
He says, that's why the blonde is back.
The blonde.
There's nothing you can tell me.
The blonde.
Definitely frightens me when I see someone with a blonde streak coming at me.
Yeah.
The blonde is back.
Blondes are terrifying in some ways, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, coming out from John Rothstein. Is that his name? John Rothstein, college basketball reporter. Is that his name? Rothstein?
Are you thinking of that rich family that
no,
runs
that's
the world?
No, that's the Rothschilds. I know
Rothschild, yeah, that's what
we don't. We don't speak of them.
Rothschild. Rothstein is his name? Rothstein?
Yeah. He's the guy that's always like, this is March. You ever seen those tweets? He's always tweeting. He's a college basketball junkie.
Hmm.
Anyways, he tweeted out that Memphis expected to land Musa Cisse, 5-star prospect from Memphis. He is expected to pick Memphis. Tennessee trending pretty well with Kennedy Chandler in the college basketball landscape as well. 5-star point guard we've been after. You see the stuff with Kay Mays yesterday? The reporting going on by multiple people. I saw Blockquist. Austin Price was tweeting about it. I saw we ran a story. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, though.
Well, basically, people were looking yesterday and like, hey, JT Daniels got cleared at Georgia. He transferred like 4 months after Cade Mays, and he already has his eligibility. What the hell is going on with Cade Mays? Why haven't we heard anything from him? And basically, we found out that we hadn't really put in a request for a waiver until like last week.
Oh, well, that's good.
But people are saying, you know, like it's Tennessee was just doing their due diligence and making sure the case was had all the details. They didn't want to rush into anything.
Sounds like we're really on top of things over there. Didn't his dad get his thumb bit off by a dog or something?
Something.
Isn't that the excuse they're going to use? That Uga bit his thumb off or something?
Yeah, Uga bit his thumb off. Something like that.
Is that – what was it? Wasn't it? I know a dog.
You think the dog? Okay.
I understand Uga didn't really bite his thumb off.
I said it was something like that.
I couldn't remember what it was. It's,
you were close. It's something like that.
Well, can you tell me?
He got it squished off in a steel chair.
Was it Uga's chair?
I don't imagine it was Uga's chair. It might have had Uga on the chair. It might have had a picture of Uga.
Maybe Uga
on the
sat on his thumb.
Maybe Uga ate the pinky after it came off, but he like smashed off. He like smashed off a part of his pinky, wasn't it? Like, didn't he get caught like in the steel chair?
Yeah, in like those folding chairs. Yeah.
He wouldn't have been very good as a WWE wrestler, I don't guess.
They didn't do a lot of sitting in those chairs. You just picked him up, and I mean, he probably would have been pretty good as a WWE wrestler.
Actually, he probably would. I think he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah,
I think Bear.
Obviously, with a
knows him.
High tolerance for pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he does. He was a football player, too. Didn't he play here?
Yeah.
I think he played here.
He's really good here.
Yeah.
I believe.
He's probably a pretty tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would suck, though, to have an incident like that. I mean, that's kind of a freak accident, you know?
Sure. Sure.
To have to go through. Especially in a place like Georgia.
But the idea was that Tennessee has not didn't rush to get the waiver in and said nothing to worry about. It's kind of the same thing they did with Aubrey Solomon, which – keep in mind, we did go down close to the deadline for Aubrey Solomon and whether or not he got cleared, but he still was ready to start from day one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're saying not to worry about Cade Mays, and just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That basically a lot of people were waiting because around the time of April, around this whole time, there was a thought that you didn't even need to file any paperwork, just that like all transfers were going to get a stamp of approval. Remember when we thought that a couple
pandemic.
Months ago?
Pandemic.
Well, no, before. No, it was, I guess, right when the pandemic started. Yeah.
Yep.
That you thought.
Just fax over a thing to the NCAA. Just write, Cade Mays, please approve. And then where it says reason and there's that colon, just put pandemic.
Yeah, and the thought process was that the NCAA was going to just stamp everyone and say you're good to go, but they tabled that vote all the way until January. So Tennessee did have to get a case ready, and, you know, I guess they wanted to make sure they had everything ready to go before they sent it over, and apparently sent it over last week. Just an update there.
Well, I'm sure they know what they're doing.
I mean, they have gotten the two guys cleared, right, so far? They tried to get cleared in terms of Urosh and Solomon. Now, Urosh got cleared a little bit late.
And it's not like
they maybe took a little bit too long to get that waiver in.
They know what they're doing over there. Let's just trust them. Just put blind trust in them. And, you know, it's not like anything's ever been – it's not like they've ever screwed anything up over there. So,
well, I mean, I just think at this point it seems really stupid to worry about these waivers when we don't even know if we're going to play football.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, Jesus.
You all right over there?
Please excuse me. Yeah, that's what I was going to – just a little COVID. That's what I was going to say. I mean, that's – Cade Mays getting cleared typically would be high on my priority list as a Tennessee fan, but right now – really, it's not, because I don't even know if we're going to play.
Saw way too many pieces yesterday in the college football circles that was basically like, just go ahead and face it, guys. We're not playing football. Like a lot of opinion pieces on Yahoo and other websites.
Well, Sankey said yesterday something like that. Basically, he said if things don't change in terms of the public health, the way things, you know, the trend, he said we're not playing. Did you see that?
You saw the conscious effort, right, from – all of these schools and all of their accounts to be like, hey, guys, you got to start putting out stuff about wearing masks. We have to convince people to wear masks.
Where did I see that? I saw something about Sankey. Did I not bookmark
that? Sankey was getting frustrated, and Sankey's been frustrated since Saturday. I mean, he's just basically like, look, we got to get this under control if we're going to play. I didn't see where he said that it wasn't we weren't going to play if we
didn't. Well, he didn't say it in those terms, but it was like, let me see if I can figure this out. Yeah. He says his concern level is high to very high. We are running out of time to correct and get things right.
Yeah, no, I mean, we are running out of time to do that.
He is concerned about having football this season.
I would think you'd have to be, right? I mean, who isn't concerned at this point? Everyone should be concerned, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not concerned, you haven't been paying attention, right?
Right. Right.
Even the most optimistic people have to feel like this is an issue.
Here's the quote that I saw. The public health trends are not what we had hoped for.
No.
If the public doesn't help get the virus under control, the season is in trouble. Now, that second part was not actually directly from him, but that was kind of a translation.
I mean, is anybody out there more confident than, like, you know, 70% that we're playing this year?
No. No. No.
I mean, I don't think you could be, because we've already had to lose games, right? And I think a lot of people were holding out hope that we would not lose any games.
I think we're going to play, and then it's just going to end up being a total cluster.
That's what I'm worried about, too, is that we're actually going to get started, and then we're going to
cluster
to not make cluck. It out of the make
second
it out of the
week.
First. Yeah, make it out of the first month, basically.
Yeah, that's – you're going to have, like, a couple teams that are 3-0. You're going to have a couple teams that are 1-2, and it's like, well, that was the season. I mean, I hope it's not like that, but it's going to be –
claim a national championship if we're 3-0.
I mean,
if we beat Oklahoma.
If we beat
Oklahoma and we're undefeated, I am claiming a national championship, just so you guys know.
If we beat Florida, Oklahoma.
Oh, if we beat Florida, yeah. If we beat Florida, yeah. For sure. I'm just talking about if we're 3-0 after beating Oklahoma – and, you know, whatever school we play after that, whatever's next, Furman, I guess. I am, we are national champions.
I mean, I think.
Undefeated.
I think it's safe to say you beat Oklahoma, they're in the playoff every year. Doesn't that mean basically you're better than that playoff team? You were on that day.
I mean, and we would still have a long win streak.
That's true. We would have
nation's second longest.
Who knows?
Maybe LSU loses.
I don't know what LSU's schedule looks like early, but I mean, maybe if LSU drops one, yeah, we will have the longest.
You're going to tell me the team that beats Oklahoma and has the nation's longest win streak is not a national champion?
At that point, we'd be what, like 9-0, basically. So we'd have like we'd 3/4 away to a perfect season.
And look at all the quality teams we've beaten that stretch, other than Oklahoma.
We'd be exactly. We'd be
Furman.
I mean, we would
Kentucky
4-0 in the SEC, and I mean. Oklahoma's a playoff team. That would get us in the playoff for sure. Texas. We got to root for Texas to go into LSU and beat them.
They're going to.
Sam Ehlinger. Never doubted him.
Actually, they're probably not going
to. No, they're not going to. I'm not relying on.
You would think a quarterback like Sam Ehlinger would be good enough, like they're replacing their superstar.
Yeah, you would think. As much as we hear about Sam Ehlinger, that, you know, you could drop him in there, they'd go get that win. But
LSU,
no,
will find a way to win.
I'm not picking Texas and Tom Herman to go into LSU. Which seems kind of.
You don't go in and beat Coach O in a big game. It just doesn't really happen.
Have we hit that point?
He's like, great. No, dude, even before the national championship run, he's been really good in big games.
I mean,
at home,
they barely scored any points at all against Alabama.
At home, he's been really good in big games. I mean, maybe not against Alabama, but that's Alabama.
What are the big games they play?
They take care of Auburn. Remember they beat that Georgia team that everybody was so high on? You know, everybody said they were so great. Remember the undefeated Georgia team that was – LSU beat their ass, like, was that 2 years ago?
Sure that wasn't Auburn that beat them?
No. LSU beat them down. I'll figure it out. I want to say it was 2018 Georgia, because it was on the same day that we beat Auburn.
Okay. And then Georgia went on to the SEC championship anyways?
I think that was the year they went on to the national championship.
That was the year they lost to Auburn. No, and the year they went to the national championship, they lost to Auburn and then beat them in the SEC championship.
That's right. That's
2019, right. Yeah.
Let's see. 2018, Georgia went 11-3, but they were undefeated at the time. They were undefeated. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 0, and they went into Baton Rouge and lost 36-16.
Okay. And LSU was ranked what at the time?
I'm not sure. But Georgia went on to beat Florida, beat Auburn. Like, they were 11-1 that year.
Then lost the SEC championship, then lost.
That was the Texas Sugar Bowl.
That's the year they lost to LSU in the Auburn.
Bama.
Bama in the SEC championship.
Yeah, so it would have been the next year. Okay. Yeah. But I just remember that Georgia team was really good, but LSU beat them down on that particular day. There's other examples, too. Coach O's pretty good in those big games.
I remember he lost to Florida.
I mean, he can't win every game, but
lost to Florida 2 years ago.
I think his record against ranked opponents is better than
if you lose to.
I mean, I don't think anybody wins every big game. I'm just saying he's been pretty good in them.
I think he's been okay. I'm just
fine.
I mean, I'm just
he's been Coach O in big games. I don't think that'll get anything in Google.
I don't think you want Big O in the same thing.
People also ask, why is Coach O's voice so raspy?
It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Someone else asked, is Ed Orgeron a good coach? He's good in big games. Like, I think he's got one of the best percentages against ranked opponents.
Okay.
I don't have the stats to back it up. Can you not just take what I say for...
I mean, I just know that it just seems crazy that we're saying that now about Ed Orgeron whenever, like, 2 years ago we're talking about, or like, before last year we're talking about he was a terrible hire and, like, they were going to fire him.
I'm going to walk you through Ed Orgeron. 2017 LSU schedule. All right, so that was his first full year. That was when they lost to Troy, which obviously was not a big game.
Not a big game for them.
But they beat Florida that year, so this is his first full year. They beat Florida. They beat Auburn. They did lose to Alabama, sure. But they beat A&M. So they beat Auburn, Florida, two of their biggest rivals.
They lost by 30 to Mississippi State.
No, they didn't. What are you talking about?
In 2017?
Holy hell.
They lost by 30 to Mississippi State.
Well, now, see, that was still earlier in the year when they were trying to get things figured out.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, their big wins would be against they beat Florida by 1 point, and they beat Auburn.
Well, this is his first full year.
Sure. They lost
to beat Florida and Auburn.
They lost the bowl game to Notre Dame.
Well, are those not big games for LSU, though?
I mean
– Florida and Auburn. Mississippi – you're an LSU fan, right?
Yeah.
Mississippi State, you don't really look at as a big game. Or Troy. Those aren't really big games, right?
Sure.
So, sure, you lose those games, but those aren't big games.
I would look at Alabama as the biggest game, though, and they scored 10 points.
A&M's a big game. Okay, well, let's move on to 2018.
Yeah, let's move on to 2018, because I know they lost to A&M that year.
Well, that was a fluke.
And got shut out by Alabama.
That was a fluke.
Lost to Florida, so that would be 0-3 in what you call big games. You said
what happened in the Auburn game?
They did win the Auburn game by 1 point. That was a good. That was Joe Burrow's fine moment where he was really terrible for the whole game and then somehow led a game-winning field goal drive. So, I mean,
what happened? You remember that UCF team that y'all were so high on that everybody
y'all
said
were
was
so high on? I don't remember being very high on UCF.
You and your former producer.
I don't remember being very high on UCF.
That everybody said was
they gutted out, they deserve a national championship.
They gutted out an eight point win.
All those UFC people.
You have convinced me. Ed O, great in big games. He gutted out an 8 point win over UCF. Against their backup quarterback.
That was a national championship team. No, that's what everybody used to tell me.
That was their backup quarterback. If their starting quarterback
would have played. All those UFC fans used to tell me.
If their starting quarterback.
And yes, I'm saying that on purpose because I'm saying that the UCF fans are the same people that watch UFC.
So.
I don't know why I took a shot there. I got nothing against the UFC.
So, I mean, like last year, yeah, last year they won a bunch of the big games, obviously. Like they went undefeated. So.
Ed Orgeron's really good against ranked opponents. All right. He's really good against ranked opponents.
I think last year you can not argue that because they had 7 wins over top 10 teams. So, like, Ed Orgeron was 7-0 last year against top 10 teams. So
even when he was building, though, you could see the glimmers that Coach O was good in big games.
Go find his record at Ole Miss.
Better in big games than Bob Stoops.
Go find his record in big games at Ole Miss.
You call Bob Stoops big game. Well, you said Ole Miss.
Call Bob Stoops big game, Bob. Yeah,
you
that's do. What other people call him.
You call him big game
I didn't
game
give
Bob.
Him that nickname.
You said it the other day.
I didn't give him
you
a nickname.
You were talking about he's the best coach that you could hire right now.
I mean, he's better than Ed Orgeron.
I don't think he's a better motivator.
That's fine. He's a better coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Coach O won a natty last year. When's Bob's last natty?
They both 2000? They both have a natty.
Bob hadn't done anything in 20 years.
They both have a natty in this millennium.
Who are you taking today?
Bob Stoops.
I don't think so.
I'll take Bob Stoops.
I'm taking Coach O today.
Mark that down.
Your unmotivated Oklahoma team is going to get their ass kicked like they always did in the big games.
Mark that down. Mark that down as you are going to ride into sunset with Ed Orgeron without Joe Burrow and Joe Brady. Just go ahead.
Who hired Joe Brady? Who hired Joe Brady? Coach O did.
Oh, I thought you meant like away from.
Coach O, he found Joe Brady.
That's fine. He was also running with Ensminger or whatever his name is.
Steve Ensminger.
Yeah.
And Steve Ensminger was a key to that offense, too.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was.
Who went and got Joe Burrow out of Ohio State? Coach O went and got Joe Burrow out of Ohio State.
Coach O did.
Big game Bob, all he ever did was get his ass kicked. There's a little Bill Cosby in there, a little Fat Albert in there, I think. hey, we won an Addy.
I mean, it's a bad time to be trying to argue against Ed Orgeron. As I acknowledge, he went 7-0 against top 10 teams last year. But I'm simply saying, I am going to bet on that being an aberration.
I'm going to bet on Bob Stoops and the SEC not being great.
It's a stupid argument to have because Bob Stoops isn't in the SEC and he's not coaching.
And so he's not done anything in 20 years, and you just said you'd take him today over Coach O.
He's done a lot.
Look what Coach O's doing with those players, the motivator Coach O is. I'm not saying Coach O's the best game day coach.
The last time Bob Stoops coached against the SEC, didn't he beat Saban's ass? Was that the last time they coached?
So you're not going to include all those national championships he got to and got his ass kicked by Florida once, by LSU once, USC once.
They lost by that Florida game was pretty close.
Bob hasn't done anything in 2 decades.
That Florida game was
pretty
close.
No, it wasn't.
Florida punched a touchdown.
Florida Oklahoma game was like 38-20 something.
Florida punched in a touchdown with 2 minutes left to win by 14. It was a 7-point game until Tebow scored at the very end of the game.
Well, who won?
Florida won. I just acknowledged that, but
they were never really in trouble.
I mean, it's a 7-point game. I'd have to go back and look at the moments that Oklahoma had a chance
about
to take
the
lead or tie the game. But it was Tebow punched the score in at the last part of the game.
Was that 55-19 game against USC close? Was that a good national championship?
No, that was also 20 years ago against USC.
Just like his national championship was 20 years ago. That was actually like 17 years ago.
That's fine, but I mean, we're talking about – I thought we were talking about against the SEC and not
– I'm just saying, Bob was coaching the XFL. 2-0
against Tennessee.
Bob's window is closed.
2-0 against Tennessee.
Bob ain't coaching no more.
Look, it's stupid to argue about Bob Stoops.
I'm just saying, you said you'd take him over Coach
O. Last time I think
he
coached against the SEC, he did kick Saban's ass. That did happen.
That was an unmotivated Alabama team. that had,
I thought you said Bob's problem was he couldn't motivate his guy.
Missed out.
But didn't you just say that Bob's problem was he couldn't motivate his guy?
Everybody gets up for Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Don't they?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they got up for that one.
Yeah.
Against a reeling Alabama team.
So,
who had just won back-to-back natties. They were tired of winning.
The big part of the argument here is, like, you are ready to call Coach O elite? Like,
no, that's not what I'm willing to do.
Sounds like what you're ready to say.
That's not what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to say today I'm going to take the SEC coach, Coach O, who's dominated the SEC last year, has great experience in the South, resonates with his players.
7-0 against top 10 teams.
Dominant against ranked teams, and really maybe the best motivator in the game.
7 top 10 wins?
I'm just saying that's today.
As you can have.
You give me Bob at his peak, maybe I take big game Bob. I'm saying
maybe,
today.
Maybe you would take
I'm saying today, Coach O, for sure.
Okay.
I'm taking Coach O today, yes. And I have no reservations about it.
Again, there's no point arguing Stoops because Stoops isn't coaching, but I was just like.
Sounds like you're reeling a bit.
Reeling about what? Like
you're saying you wouldn't take Bob today?
No, I'm just saying like it's a stupid argument to have because he's not coaching. Like it'd just be me and you saying, well, yes, I would. No, I wouldn't. Like,
right. That's what we do.
I will take Ed Orgeron's last year over almost anybody's. Like that last year was magical, but. I am going to plant my flag in the it was a fluke. Ed Orgeron is still going to go back to being an 8 or 9 win coach at LSU.
You're saying he's Gene Chizik?
No, didn't Gene go 3-9? I don't think they're going to go that bad. Didn't Gene? He went 3-9, right? The year they fired him.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not going to get that bad for LSU. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that there are some parallels there. I guess with like. Great coordinator leaves, and then all of a sudden you look around and you know the problems that were there before you hired the great coordinator are still there.
Maybe he'll go hire another great coordinator.
Maybe. Although, who's the offensive coordinator this year?
I don't.
Is it just Ensminger this year?
I don't know.
And your place?
I feel like you used to be really. I think you're being a little unfair to Coach O. I think he's a better coach than you give him credit for.
I think they'll win 8 or 9 games.
Maybe in this first year after. I mean, it's hard to go 15-0 and then come back and, you know, this will probably be a little bit of a down year.
I don't think they're ever going 15-0 again.
I'll say that's not going to happen. That probably won't happen, but I think they're going to have some 11-win years.
I don't think he's going to win the SEC ever again.
I
don't think he'll – if I had to bet, I would say he doesn't win the West again, but I guess
– He'll win the SEC again, I think. Once.
You can put that
maybe
on the
once,
board.
Maybe once.
We got some NFL breaking news contract signing.
Chris Jones. Don't care.
Okay. We signed a 4-year, $85 million contract.
Good for the Chiefs. Many people argued that they were better without Chris Jones even on the field last year. There's this pressure numbers are better. The run stopping numbers are better. There's some stats out there that say they were actually better with him. But when the game was the biggest, he did ball out in the Super Bowl and to the point where some people said he maybe should have won MVP.
Yeah,
of the Super Bowl. So, I mean, he did come through big in that game, but even the Chiefs fans I was arguing with last year before the AFC Championship because Chris Jones was going to be out there, like, oh, we're better without him. So, you know, you keep the guy 4 years, $85 million. So, I mean, at least you know, that was a big part about Mahomes' deal, right? It left some flexibility, but maybe you could have spent that money better if you're the Chiefs. But either way, at least one deal got worked out. One franchise tag deal got worked out before the deadline. But no, Ed O is not going to win the SEC again. I feel very confident.
Ever.
He's not winning the SEC again.
What about the West? I feel like if you win the West, you're going to win the SEC.
He is not going to win the SEC. The West, I could be convinced, but if I had to bet right now, I would say no. But again, that's really you're just betting against Alabama. You're really just betting on Alabama, I think, because I don't feel very confident about A&M or Auburn.
No, for sure.
So he might win the West, but he is not going to win the SEC.
Well, I hope someday you see the light on Coach O. I used to be against him, too, but I saw the light.
I'm not against him. He's a fine guy. He seems fun, whatever. Sure,
You don't like him.
Sure, he tried to steal all of our recruits.
You hate him.
And all that.
Clearly.
Tried to steal all of our recruits and tell them not to go to class and did all that.
Well, yeah, he wanted to take them with him to his next job.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, that's normal.
I have nothing against him. Like I said, I'd call my shot, and I would, if you weren't quitting, we could put it on the board that he'll never win the SEC again.
You can still put it on the board. What do you think happens first for Coach O? Heart attack or wins the West?
I won't even say he has a heart attack. They'll just be health concerns.
The guy drinks like, how many Red Bulls does he drink a day?
I think he switched to the sugar-free.
Well, I hope he's gone sugar-free, but still that much whatever's in that. Creatine, glycosamine, I don't know, one of those words.
I don't know.
Whatever gives creatine, you that. Taurine, is it taurine? What is in Red Bull that gives you the energy?
Caffeine, isn't it? I thought it was caffeine.
It's probably the sugar. Do the sugar-free ones really even work?
I thought was it not caffeine that gives you the?
Yeah, it's probably caffeine.
All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Contract details are coming out for this deal of Chris Jones. 4 year, $85 million, $60 million in guarantees. So he got paid. $37 million due at signing. 4 year, $80 million deal with $5 million incentives. So basically it's going to be $20 million a year for Chris Jones. That would, I'm going to say it's going to pretty much take them out of major free agency game for the kind of foreseeable future, right?
Yeah. I mean, outside people on their own team and people they draft, yeah.
Right. Like, they're going to have to nail the draft. They're going to have to find some bargains or maybe some veterans who want to come play.
Yep. For you know, a shot at a title, yeah.
Yep. You're going to have to be that team. And there's always that team in professional sports, right, where – you want to try to chase greatness. You want to try to chase a championship. So you'll have some deals where somebody will be like, you know what, I'll take $3 million to come and try to rush the passer.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll come play wide receiver for cheap to try to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes. You saw that with the Miami Heat, right? That's the first time I really remember that really kind of taking off.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's not exactly true because the Gary Payton and Karl Malone both did that with the Lakers at the end of their careers.
Yeah, but that was the first time it was, like, super noticeable, I guess.
Uh-huh. You had guys, like, turn down, like, money. Like, yeah. Ray Allen took much less money to leave Boston to go to Miami.
Yep.
You know, Gary Payton and Karl Malone were both at the end of their careers and trying to go and win a championship. So that was, I guess, the first time I remember seeing that, though, you know, in 2004, I believe the year was. Any thoughts? Cody? Just on anything? Maybe you had something to say.
No.
Okay.
No, not at the moment. I don't really have anything right now.
No worries. I feel like you could take that money and spread it out a little bit more if you're the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly like who's up on deck for them to for them to pay. I don't know what type of impending free agents they have. I know they gave Tyreek Hill a contract extension not too long ago, right?
Yeah. So I think he's locked up for at least the next 2-3 years, probably.
I guess that was before the 2019 season. They gave him a 3-year, $54 million extension, so I don't know how many years are left on his contract after that because, you know, extension could also have years already there on top of it. So the core, I guess, there and will kind of be locked in place. And Kelsey's been taken care of as well, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think they locked him up too. So I think you're right. I think they have their, like, main core pretty locked in, and the flexibility, though, that they had with the Mahomes contract, I would say is gone now for sure with this Chris Jones signing.
Well, that's why they did what they did with Patrick Mahomes. Like, they – whenever you saw the contract numbers, I mean, everyone else was talking about how he got rich, but I was just like, hey, left some flexibility, left some money on the table, and it's going to help him chase greatness, right? We looked and we said, hey, the way he is going about this is – he is going to try to keep this roster somewhat intact. Now, you know, there's going to be moments where you have to make tough decisions just in general as you start paying guys who you draft. And, you know, you have to make decisions. Like Sammy Watkins, this is last year. And, you know, they'll be able to get out of his, $15 million. His $60 million off the salary cap. So that'll be fine. That'll feel good next year. Now, whether or not that I'm interested, like what happens with Tyrann Mathieu and how many years he has left, because I do feel like he was a pretty important piece for them last year.
Yeah, he's huge for them. Yeah.
We just look at 2021 for the Chiefs. They'll still have Frank Clark, their big pass rusher, who they're going to be paying $6 million.
Jeez.
On the cap. Tyreek Hill, who they're going to be paying $16 million on the cap. Tyrann Mathieu, who they're going to be paying $20 million.
So they got three defenders over $20 million?
Three defenders over 20, yeah. But you can do that because Patrick Mahomes is still going to be – well, I guess next year he'll go up to $20, $25 million. He'll go up to his fifth-year option.
So that will probably – I mean, that's the Sammy Watkins money right there.
The Sammy Watkins money, yes. Basically, just a lot of it's going to go to Mahomes. Eric Fisher, you got a high-paid tackle that you're giving $15 million as well. The question, I think, comes into 2022. That's whenever you look around, and that's when you'll have to start making some tougher decisions as Mahomes gets his pay increase. I believe Travis Kelce's a free agent. Tyrann Mathieu's a free agent. Fisher's a free agent. That's when you'll start kind of looking and saying, okay, we have to start making some decisions. You know, they can save money by cutting Frank Clark, and who knows. 2 years from now, you probably do that.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you can save, I believe, a lot of money by cutting him in 2 years. So, that might be the
structure and stuff like that.
Yeah. For the next 2 years, they're good. 2022, I guess, will be the year that you start looking around and saying, okay, now they got to make tough decisions. So, the Chiefs, I don't want to say are completely running it back, but a good part of their team that was there last year, going to be back this upcoming year. And I see no reason to say, I mean, obviously the gambling lines have them as the favorite, right? They are the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. And, you know, without seeing anything crazy happen next year, any injuries or any type of guy, you know, Joe Burrow being the second coming or Baker Mayfield figuring it out with that team in Cleveland or whatever happens in Tampa, I would say you could go ahead and pencil the Chiefs in as the favorite next year in 2021. And if not the favorite, one of the top two or three. Agree? Disagree, Cody?
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's nobody that we've talked about them being the team of the future. So, like, they're going to be right there where the Patriots have been the last decade of one of the four or five best odds in the league to win the Super Bowl.
They should be right there for the next 5 years at least.
I guess right now, them in Baltimore are pretty neck and neck on who the favorites are, but I think the Chiefs have a slight edge.
Chiefs are probably slightly better. They got more weapons.
Yep.
Better team overall.
I mean, we talked about those offense rankings yesterday, and they had the Ravens all the way down to, what, 20th in terms
of no weapons. No weapons.
Could Antonio Brown switch this at all? Because, I mean, Baltimore was a team that he was linked to. If the Ravens got Antonio Brown, would that change your mind at all?
Probably not. I don't think he's ever going to come back in the league. I mean, if he does, it's just going to be a short-lived.
Has he hit Josh Gordon? Has he hit Josh Gordon territory? You're like, team signs him. Okay, cool. Well, he'll be gone in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's the new Josh Gordon. What is Josh Gordon doing now? Is he anywhere?
Josh Gordon is trying to get back on a team, and he is reinstated. And the good news for Josh Gordon is, like, the NFL is not testing for weed anymore, not punishing for weed anymore. So, like, if he gets back in, he should be good to go.
Tampa Bay number three receiver could be the
good. I would hate that.
We'll see what type of relationship him and Brady actually had. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Josh Gordon moved on from the Patriots and then became boys with Josh Gordon, or excuse me, with Russell Wilson.
Well, Russell Wilson could use a weapon. Who has better weapons? You think Seattle's weapons are better than the Ravens?
Yeah. Meh. Who are the Ravens receivers? I mean, I know they got Hollywood Brown and they got Sneed.
Still out there?
Sneed.
Marquise Goodwin.
No. Oh, yeah, they traded for him, didn't they? Did they trade for Goodwin?
No, he went to the Eagles.
The Eagles.
No, I'm thinking of Marquise.
Brown.
Brown.
Hollywood. Oh, that's Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
I knew they had a guy called Marquise.
Man, I used to know this.
They traded one of their tight ends. They got J.K. Dobbins, right? So I mean,
they drafted the receiver at SMU. I remember.
I would
Miles Boykins on there.
I'm not gonna say yes or no on that, Cody, because it's one of those situations where I feel like Seattle's weapons just look better because of Russell Wilson. Like those small receivers look pretty good when they're catching from Russell. But would they look good if you drop them in somewhere else? Like if Tom Brady was back there, would all of a sudden you look and say this looks a lot like New England's receivers that weren't good enough the last couple of years? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, what would happen if you just switched Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson? I wonder what that would look like.
I would say that
Baltimore would be better?
I would say, yeah, Baltimore would win that exchange just because I have more confidence in Harbaugh. Although Pete Carroll does like running the ball, so maybe he would just have Lamar out there.
Have Lamar out there just
running like a power a power wing.
Yeah, it could work.
Could be worse. Is there any moves left that will change anything, I guess, as we get set? You know, we're a month and a half away from the NFL season, which seems crazy.
I guess Clowney's the only really – I mean, there's actually a lot of pass rushers still on the market.
A lot of pass rushers. I believe Logan Ryan's still out there too. Yeah. I mean, he's a starting-level corner, but I don't know if any of those guys are enough to switch the favorites, although I will say if Clowney goes somewhere like Philadelphia.
Yeah, it'd help
which
their odds.
There was a rumor that Philadelphia's got a big move coming in this week, I believe on Wednesday. So, like, if that was – Clowney agreeing to go to Philadelphia, I would say that would maybe flip that back in their favor in terms of versus the Cowboys. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, I think the only thing you're really waiting on now is trades.
I would say Jamal Adams being on the market. Yeah. If someone was able to go out and trade for him, if he went to a contender, he could put them over the edge.
That guy from Jacksonville.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue. He was. Yeah. They said today that teams are still calling about him. So I guess there are a couple of trades that could get done.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Antonio Brown, if he signed with the team, though, could make them a lot better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you can keep him on the field, absolutely.
And that will, like I said, that will always be the issue of whether or not he could stay on the field.
Yeah.
I would think it would be pretty funny if the Patriots brought him back. We didn't really talk about the move or the news, but the Patriots did uncover another $7 million worth of salary cap. They had some grievances go their way. From Antonio Brown and Aaron Hernandez's contracts, where they got rewarded an extra $7.5 million of salary cap space to use this year. So they could absorb. They could absorb somebody in a trade or, I guess, go out and sign. I don't know, like I said, I guess they could find a pass rusher, paying Everson Griffin.
Yep.
What if they somehow worked the deal for Clowney and made it incentive laden? And then also, if I'm Cam Newton, I'd be like, man, I wish I would have gotten, known they had another $7.5 million laying around. I might could have got a couple more mil out of them. So I would say there are a couple of names that could move teams from fringe contender to real contender, but I don't know if there's anything out there that could really move anybody ahead of the Chiefs.
No, yeah, no way. You'd have to sign like all the free agents.
Yeah, like if the Ravens don't have the money, but they came like with Brown and Clowney.
Yeah,
I'd be like, okay, that's good, but yeah, I don't know what the scariest setup would be there that would make me think that the Chiefs weren't the best team in the league. Maybe if the 49ers went out and got a real receiver. Maybe if they got Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they have a shot.
It's crazy to me that he still isn't in the league.
Yeah.
He's just got kind of cast to the side.
He's good enough to be, but
obviously,
he's just not. I mean, he was the best receiver in the league, you know, for a while.
What a fall for him. I mean, this time last year, I mean, I think we all kind of thought he would have a little bit of a slip just because he was going to Oakland.
Yeah.
And was going to, you know, he had the – it was around this time last year, right? Maybe a little bit later where he, like, burned his toe. He got frostbite on his feet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was around this time.
Thing, yeah.
And then
I guess that was the beginning of August, right? Because that's when Hard Knocks was coming on. Like, that story came out about him burning his feet.
And it just started a chain of events.
And then it was the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
He just refused to wear the new helmet. And then he was out of the league. Next thing you know.
From there, yeah.
Then he had that one touchdown catch in New England.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, this isn't fair. Because that was whenever they were beating up on the Dolphins. They were beating up on bad teams. You're like, man, this isn't fair. And then he was out of the league.
Yeah. And then he had the whole thing with his woman.
And then he was
with his woman.
White women. And then he had the whole thing. It's been a bad thing for him since then. But it came unraveled pretty quickly there.
He was the omen of 2020.
He tried to warn us what was coming. He lived his 2020 in about a span of a month and a half and just said, this is coming for everyone else. Hour two in the books. We'll kick it off with headlines. We got Tuesday trivia. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio.
Move your business forward with